Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. A recent poll by the British Croquet Association found the average croquet player to be 68 years old. The pollsters warned that if the sport does not attract a younger audience, it could disappear altogether by the year 2037. We are, of course, smack in the middle of summer, and it's a great time to get out and play lawn games like croquet, cornhole, or bocce, games that have survived in some cases for thousands of years. Now, a few alternative lawn games are gaining momentum, while others fall out of favor. And yet all of them share a space with new forms of technological recreation. Paul Tukey is co-author of Tag, Toss, and Run, 40 Classic Lawn Games, and joins us now to talk about the fascinating history behind some of our favorite summer sports and how our relationship with these games is changing in the 21st century. Paul, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It is crazy to hear that croquet has become somewhat passé. How far back does that sport go?
Probably about 150 years. It dates back to England, and various people lay claim to its invention, but probably about 1850, 1840, somewhere in there. A lot of the games that were originally popular in this country do come to us from Great Britain. Obviously, we settled here. A lot of ancestors came here, and croquet was certainly one of those first great games that everybody played. And it seemed like everybody's garage had a croquet set when I was growing up back in the 60s and 70s. And now that just isn't true as much anymore.
What are some of the oldest lawn games that we still play in some form or another today?
Well, the oldest game known on the planet's bocce. It was found in the Egyptian tombs. It's somewhere between 5 and 10,000 years old, as near as we can tell. It may be even older than that. And that is still very, very popular around the world. It's obviously a very simple game with four large balls and one small ball, and anybody can play it of all ages. And so that one still holds up today as a game that folks love and still enjoy. As far as other older ones, I mean, London Bridge, that game is probably 1,000 years. That's a game that the little children typically play. A lot of kindergartners love to play that one. Tug of War, you know, just an old rope that you can pull back and forth with groups of people. That game is very old. And we have 40 games in the book, and I would say probably a dozen of them go back at least 200 years, and some are 1,000 or more.
Glad you mentioned Tug of War, because it seems like a lot of these games are inspired by or modeled after military sort of activity or war. What's that connection between lawn games and the battlefield?
I think it's a fascination that children have, and it's they like to play and they like to fantasize, and it's very, very healthy, I think, and just very, very natural. I watched a Clint Eastwood movie with my daughters this weekend, introduced them to Clint Eastwood, and I was wincing when Clint would shoot a bad guy, but you have to explain, it's just a movie. But they were really, really fascinated about why people don't like each other, and I do think that that's just something that people do like to talk about. Unfortunately, war is part of our collective history, our collective culture, and children like to play it out in an innocent way in their backyards, and that's why there is that imaginary connection to a lot of these games. And in fact, some of these games, like Tug of War, have been banned. It's part of the reason for the decline in popularity of some of them, is that some of them are deemed to be too dangerous for today's children to play, even though I'm a 54-year-old man and I've survived all of them.
Dodgeball, for example, that's been banned
Dodgeball.
In a lot of places.
Dodgeball is, and you wonder, is that an appropriate game to be playing, even though we certainly did it back in the playgrounds in Maine when I was a child.
Were you surprised to discover the origins of some of those games that everybody seems
yeah,
to play?
Yeah, I mean, when we started the project, I didn't want to relegate an old-fashioned outdoor childhood to memory, and every culture has their own games, and some of them are the same version of the same games. Like bocce is universal. Every culture plays bocce. But then you find these great games like Kube and Mölkky from Scandinavian countries, and you find Sepak Takraw from the Asian world, and so that is very, very interesting and exciting to engage with these other cultures and find out that these are really great games too.
Well, kids used to play these kind of games. You know, we were just sent outside to play games on hot summer days. How do you think technology and ideas about parenting have changed the way that we play lawn games and how we view them in general?
Well, I do think that the computer has taken over, sadly. I've met parents who, they look at the book and they all say, I used to play that, but I don't let my child go outside anymore because I'm afraid they're going to get Lyme disease, for example. Or maybe they put pesticides on their lawn and they don't want the kids playing on the grass. They grew the lawn because they want it to look nice, but they just don't want the kids to go out there and play. So culturally, we have a malaise right now, and we have an epidemic of obesity in this country. And again, I think it's back to let's celebrate these games and don't just expect that the kids are going to go out there and find these games on their own. I think we need to lend a guiding hand. And I can tell you, I just left my camp in Maine last week, and we played so many of these games, and my five-year-old is the first one in the morning to be, I'm not even awake yet, and she's tugging me out the door to go play games. And I love that. We had our, you know, we don't even bring the computer to camp with us. And it's that one week of really where it hasn't changed, life hasn't changed since my childhood, because all you can do is swim and play games.
If these lawn games of the baby boomers are indeed falling out of fashion, you know, like croquet and bocce, what are some of those that are becoming more popular?
Well, the two, Coob and Mulkey, and they're from, Coob is a Scandinavian game, a Scandinavian war game, and Mulkey is a Finnish Skittles game. It's a counting game. They both involve underhand tossing of wooden objects. And Coob really latched on up in Minnesota first, and then Wisconsin, and really college students started. They learned it in college. Maybe they knew it from a notch. One gentleman whose name escapes me, I mentioned him in the book, he's really credited with bringing Coob into the country. He learned it from a Norwegian uncle, and he made a homemade set. And then he went from Minnesota to Wisconsin, and they started having these tournaments. And I can tell you that Coob is a game that nobody's ever seen before until recent years in this country. And it's really fascinating to watch it. It's very, very strategic. Play it much like bocce or bowling, or anybody can play it. I was out in Los Angeles and we had a tournament. My friend's 19-year-old son was hosting a tournament out there, and the audience just started building from 2 to 3 people to dozens and dozens of people, and people wanting to try it. And so I think these are new. They are exciting. It's a little bit more complicated than bocce in the strategy, and I think that maybe goes back to the video game thing, where a lot of these video games do have strategies to them, and probably Coob suits today's teenager better than bocce does, because it is more interesting and it is more war related. You know, you are trying to capture the king and, you know, metaphorically kill the enemy. And so I think the college students really like that.
Paul Tukey, co-author of Tag, Toss, and Run, 40 Classic Lawn Games. Paul, thank you for being with us.
Well, I appreciate it.
Take care. Warning you, if you come to New Hampshire again, I'm a cornhole champion.
Oh, really? Well, bring it on.
Well, as Paul mentioned, one lawn game currently sweeping America's greens is Coob. Sometimes called Viking chess, Coob combines elements of throwing games like horseshoes and cornhole with the strategy of games like checkers or chess. One New Hampshire town where Coob is making waves is Peterborough, New Hampshire, the site of what may have been New Hampshire's first Coob tournament. Producer Taylor Quimby spoke to the woman who may be responsible for bringing this Nordic lawn game to the grassy greens of the Granite State.
So hi, I'm Elin Johansson, and I live in Peterborough, but grew up in Sweden.
So when did you first play Coob? Do you remember?
I think it was probably sometime in the early 90s, maybe when I was 7 or 8 years old. That's when it started to become popular in Sweden. You started maybe to buy them in some hardware stores and some rare stores in the beginning. But then in the early 90s, you started seeing it in every gas station and every store everywhere. And I mean, every family was paying it. I was never really competitive at playing. I was the youngest one of four brothers. And they were very competitive and they always won. So I think I learned to lose. I think it's Sweden is such an important game because we really value the summers in Sweden because it is such a dark, dark time during the winter. And so during the summer when we have light almost 24 hours a day, we can play it well into midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning without anything stopping us.
Now, when did you come to the States?
When I was 19, I moved to Brooklyn, New York. So for 11 years, I lived in New York and never played Coob. And not until I moved to Peterborough, I just remembered how much I missed the game. I finally had a backyard. I missed it. Maybe I wanted to find my roots in a way, and I bought a game.
And so where did you get it?
I actually bought it off Amazon, and there are a lot of different options there. Now they're actually making games in Peterborough, beautiful wooden games, and it's easy to make yourself.
Have you noticed that there seems to be this sudden interest in the United States in Coob?
Well, I didn't really talk about it for many years in Brooklyn, but I started to see it in parks in Brooklyn. People started playing it, and then now when I've been introducing it, it seems like everyone has heard about it once.
You told me about a game that you played in Brooklyn not too long ago, and they were you said you weren't very competitive. You heard that they were very competitive.
These are very professional people working in a very competitive city. So immediately they were out with lasers, ropes, measuring everything. Just, you know, it was... they used me as a rule book, but I don't know the rules very well, so I made them up as we went along. It was almost like a little fights here and there, but everyone loved it, and I think they're all addicted at this point.
Do you think there's a reason that people might be interested in this? Is it just that it's new to us, or is there something about the game
itself?
Well,
I think it's more fun than croquet or bocce or any of these other games because you need a little more tactic when you play it. You need a little more skill. It hasn't lost its popularity in Sweden in 25 years. So I think it's going to continue to grow here. And it's just a more challenging game, I think, but still very simple.
And any hopes for yourself that you're going to be at the top of the pack in the Peterborough competitions?
No, I've given that up. I like to spread the word around, and there are definitely people in Peterborough that taking the lead. They're going to be the best.
Producer Taylor Quimby there speaking with Elin Johansson, a native of Sweden who now lives in Peterborough, New Hampshire.